Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's Thursday, January 27th, and we are going to have our open line for the month of January, getting right down to the end of the month, so we have to do this today. It's not that we have to do this. It's that we like to do this as well, because it's fun to hear what suggestions you have from all over the state and beyond of programs for the 9 to 11 o'clock hours. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And we also want to tell you that you can, well, I guess you could send an email today too, right? And then we'll just print them off. Rhonda says, okay. So the email address is talk@wpr.org, and you can always send us email notifications of events that are going on or if an idea springs into your mind and you say, oh, that'd be a great talk show. It's funny when you're in this business, you think about that all the time. Oh, that'd be a good show. That'd be a good show. You have to keep a little notebook. That'd be a good show. So what would be a good show? That's the question of the hour. 800-486-8655. We start our calls with Ben from Wisconsin Rapids. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Ben.
I've got a great issue to talk about for one of your next shows. Is in the current situation that I'm in, I'm currently unemployed and trying to seek, or currently self-employed, trying to seek unemployment. And I had worked for my previous job for 5.5 years, and now am unemployed from being self-employed. So I'm trying. There's no safety net for people that try to be self-employed from their previous job. I was denied unemployment twice, and even in my appeal hearing, because obviously it has nothing to do with my past employer, but on the other hand, I'm not self-employed anymore and looking for a safety net to seek another job.
Right. So what kind of work were you doing, Ben?
I'm farming.
Mm-hmm.
And so to get into farming and the market isn't doing well.
Right.
And so trying to get out of farming and there's no safety net from trying to be self-employed. So now I'm trying to find a house payment for my family,
right,
without unemployment, and so next time I think about being self-employed, I'm going to think, well, should I? Because, you know, if I quit my current job to become self-employed, there's no way for me to collect unemployment.
Yeah, because there's nobody paying into the unemployment fund, right? From because
right.
You're self-employed.
Right, because you don't pay in unemployment to yourself. You pay it. I paid it to all my employees, but trying to collect unemployment from my previous job because my self-employment didn't work out. So it's tough
for somebody
that's trying to be self-employed.
Oh, I understand.
To get into that field and help the economy and help themselves and build a business, and I think there should be a safety net so people aren't afraid to be self-employed.
Okay, and where are you going now? What are you going to go into?
Well, I'm heading back to school in the nursing program, and hopefully I can find a job in nursing. I might be a minority as a male, so that might be. I'm looking for advancement.
Right, and for an honorable profession, and nursing is one of the best. Nurses do an amazing job. All right. Well, we'll fashion a program. I don't know if we'll do a full hour on this, but we could look at one of the loopholes here. And we need to do, and I'm sure the president will be talking a lot tonight about unemployment as well and jobs. But we will cover that in an upcoming show. Ben, I wish you all the best. Good
Thanks,
luck.
Kathleen.
Okay. Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
We go next to Gene from Johnson's Creek. Hi, Gene.
Hello. The issue I'd like to talk about has to do with the practicality of some of the mandates that are being put forth for energy independence. And, you know, it's pretty easy for the government to say we're going to be 25% self-producing our own energy in 25 years or things like that. And to kind of paint a broad stroke across the whole industry is with renewable energies, but the practical application of most of these technologies is really very difficult within the present economic framework. that a lot of these things can work, but they're going to cost extra money. Lots of times, I know that the government likes to, you know, paint things as we're going to do this for you, and I'm not against that, but they try and maybe beat the drum too much for we're going to solve all the problem. And when there really is a lot of technical difficulties in implementing a lot of these renewable fuels issues, you know, just for example, in wind or solar, just the fact that it's a very interruptible source,
right?
And it doesn't replace anything as far as the utility system that we have in place now. We actually basically have to have a dual system, one with a renewable generation, the second with non-renewable, typically, to take the place of when the renewables aren't there. You know, and just that dual system has a tremendous cost in itself. The burning biomass for...
Okay, I need to hold you there because we need to get a lot of suggestions here.
Sure.
So your idea, Gene, is to get somebody to look at the feasibility of renewable energy.
Yeah, and the practicality of it. I mean,
okay.
Anything can be done, but it costs a lot of money to do so.
Okay, thank you very much. It's been a long time since we've talked about energy. We did a lot of great shows. We'll look at that again. Thank you for reminding us of the issue. Frank from Madison. Hello, Frank.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Frank.
Previous program was excellent.
Good.
I'd like to make two possible guests, and they're both Nobelists, and they both have books, so you're likely to be able to get them.
Okay.
I can't guarantee, you know, but more likely. One is James Hansen, who has a book called The World of My Grandchildren. And he's the man who first identified global warming as having a basis in human activity.
Okay.
And this is 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a truly fine scientist and not an alarmist, but he is gravely concerned about the world that his grandchildren will live in. And so he would make a very good guest.
Yes, he would.
And he would explain how we are building in a very dire future and that it is already built in. Things will become more uncertain and worse. And he will probably, since he's concerned about his grandchildren, make it clear that we have to stop what we're doing in terms of how we power our civilization.
Okay.
Now, the second guest is Joseph Stiglitz,
who
is a Nobel laureate in economics, and he has a book which describes how we got to the current economy and what might be necessary to get out of it. And so that's the two, and I'll try and make this brief. A third possible topic is you look into what's wrong with a fire economy. That's finance, insurance, and services. And I was astounded at what the actual underemployment rate in North America is. It's about 40%.
Oof.
Which, and of course, the official figures don't say that when you look at the media representation. But Martin Wolf has an incredible article on the current state of the global and North American economy, and underemployment is 42%. And his article is in the Financial Times.
Good.
So you have
great.
A very good day.
Thank you, Frank. You too. Frank sends us a lot of emails, too. I saw that one, and thank you. Financial Times, I am writing it down. I'm sitting here with my legal pad and pen and writing all of these down. I've been doing this for so many years. It's fun. All right, Frank, good suggestions. Thank you very much. Let's go next to Amy from Port Wing. Hi, Amy.
Hello.
Hi.
I would really like a show about the Alberta oil tar sands. I don't know. I don't think very many people know, but we are digging up humongous amounts of oil tar in Alberta and making it into a slurry and piping it down into our country. And what's happening is that the boreal forest, which is one of our last lungs, is being torn apart so that we can get oil, which will eventually, of course, go back into the environment. It's kind of like You know, if you have a really bad bronchitis, you sell your one lung so that you can buy more cigarettes. Anyway, I'd like a show about it so that us Americans can see what our why we need so much energy. You know, what's actually happening to the environment by doing that.
Great, thanks, Amy, for your suggestion.
You're welcome. Okay. I don't know who would be good for doing that, but I know that there's a lot of work going on it.
Thank you.
You bet.
Open line for January is what's happening right now, and we're welcoming your phone calls. 800-486-8655 is our number. Tom from Burlington, hello.
I would like to see a show done, this recent trouble they have in Haiti with the earthquake has brought to mind there are many people down there adopting children, and it makes me feel that we have a very complicated system of adoption here in America, and maybe do a show about adoption. I don't know who to suggest, but and in terms of in England, they have the Children's Adoption Act of 2002, and it allows married couples to adopt. Unmarried couples applying jointly can adopt. Step parents can adopt. Foster care people can adopt, and lesbian and gay couples can adopt, and they don't care where the parents come from, just as long as the love is there. And if we could maybe, because we've done this whole thing with the education is a problem, and we know that two parents are better than one, and in every case, so maybe I don't know who you would talk to, but to me, I think it's a very, very important thing to put two parents to a child.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. It would be a good time to talk about adoption. Let's go next to Bill from Mezzomani. Hi, Bill.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Bill.
One of the issues I'd like to see a discussion about would be the problem of how do people looking for work become matched up with jobs that are available. I mean, at this point, all I see is kind of a piecemeal system where there's want ads, the Internet, which people apply for, and very seldom ever get any response back that their application was even accepted. And I guess what I'm looking for is a structured system that combines all the jobs that are available with the talent pool that can fill those jobs.
Okay.
I don't have anybody in particular that would be a guest, but it's a topic that I would love to see discussed and explored.
Okay. And you know Ben Marins does a job line here on the station. Have you heard that?
Yes, I have, and it's a really good effort, but I'm thinking on a much larger scale for a region, an area,
right,
or the nation, where there should be a better structured system.
I agree. So we know what's available, exactly. It's a good idea.
All right, thank you.
Yes, thank you very much for the call. We go next to Art from Milwaukee. Hello, Art.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Art.
There's a program coming up in Milwaukee based on a new book that's come out. It's about a person named Fred Hampton. Fred was a civil rights leader based in Chicago who was assassinated by the Chicago police in his bed 40 years ago. He was actually the originator of the Rainbow Coalition, and at age 21 he was nationally recognized as a civil rights leader. So the author is Jeff Haas, who was a civil rights lawyer in Chicago, did a lot to do with the suspension of the death penalty in Chicago and proving the innocence of those folks. So on February 18, he and Fred's older brother are going to both be at Marquette Law School and at UWM.
Mm-hmm.
And the book is called The Assassination of Fred Hampton, How the FBI and the Chicago Police Murdered a Black Panther. That's a fascinating story, and Fred was a really inspiring figure. So one would be to have them come up on your show, you know, sometime before they speak on February 18.
Okay.
Would be great. Also, the whole issue of a right to travel to Cuba is going to be coming up in Congress in the near future. There's a number of people who could speak on that. One that we had come to Wisconsin in the fall was a guy named Delvis Fernandez Levy, who's a Cuban-American leader of a moderate Cuban-American organization. And has a fascinating life history, both in Cuba and in Florida and the rest of the U.S., and is working actively so that not just Cuban-Americans can go to Cuba. And by the way, I tried to call in yesterday when you had the speakers on the corporation and the campaign finance thing, because one of the most glaring studies about the influence and corruption of financing is on this very issue of Cuba travel. There's about 20 Congress people who were for the right to travel to Cuba and who suddenly switched their positions right after they were given money by the right-wing people who oppose that. And it's been cited as a major, kind of the most glaring example of people just switching their positions after getting paid financing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Delvius would be great. There's certainly Wayne Smith, who used to head the U.S. Embassy in an interest section in Havana, teaches at Johns Hopkins, is also a very good guest.
Okay. And send us more information on Fred Hampton's brother's appearance, too. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Art.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Bye. Ann is next from Madison. Hi, Ann.
Hi. Well, I know you've covered a lot of good stuff on the financial situation recently, but this week the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, chaired by Representative Adolphus Towns, Democrat from New York, is investigating exactly what happened with the New York Fed when Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner was its head. And I heard on BBC, you won't hear this on any American media, but on BBC last night, one of their great financial reporters explained exactly what went wrong. And it sounded to me, and one of your listeners knows better, as if what AIG did was the New York Fed helped engineer AIG's getting 100 cents on the dollar for its toxic assets and, you know, liabilities, basically, that were worth something like, I don't know, 15 or 30 cents on the dollar. And then a lot of that was filtered into Goldman Sachs. But I would really like to have, a really competent English reporter, BBC reporter,
okay,
describe exactly what's going on there. And Henry Paulson is going to testify, too. I think Geithner started yesterday. And one of the great BBC reporters, financial reporters, is named Leslie Cohen. It's a woman, and she's absolutely fantastic. And somebody else who could do it who's now appearing, he's back in public, is Elliot Spitzer, who was going after deals like this, maybe this one specifically, when the sex scandal got him tossed out.
When he was going after other things.
Yeah,
exactly.
But Spitzer was detested by these financial institutions because when he was nosing into their business, they weren't able to operate quite as freely and criminally as they wanted to. So he's so smart, and I've heard him on BBC twice in the last 3 or 4 months, and on Air America, I think on Tom Hartman's program. So I think he ought to be let back in the fold because, what he was doing was very valuable. And to me, his private life, despicable as it was, is nobody else's business.
Thanks, Ann, very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. Milton is next from Madison. Hi, Milton.
Hi. I think that we should talk about Facebook and their most recent action in kind of resetting everybody's personal privacy things so that they would have an easier time selling personal information. Facebook has become more and more popular, and it just seems like some of these corporations are pretty much just doing what they feel like and imposing their will on other people and selling other people's personal information. And I think anybody who uses Facebook should think twice about doing it.
Do you have a story that's been done about this, or can you alert us to somebody who has studied the issue?
I'd say just check some of the tech blogs. It's been very commented upon. Maybe somebody from Salon or Slashdot or other popular mainstream media.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Thank you, Milton.
Now.
Mm-hmm. Bye. John from Madison. Hi.
Hi. One of the real deficiencies of Wisconsin Public Radio, not just specifically your show, although I would include your show definitely, and also Ben Maron's, but there's not enough trenchant analysis of American foreign policy. Most of the people you get, they know what they're talking about, but they don't use the kind of wording to really indicate what's going on, and they're not critical enough. Somebody that would restore more what I see as a more positive balance would be Gwen Dyer. He's the guy that did the series on war, that had the PBS series on war, and internationally acclaimed journalist out of England, originally a Canadian. He's written a book called Future Tense, The Coming World Order. And he draws analogies in one of his pieces. There's about five of them in this particular book, between the collapsing Roman Empire and the British Empire, in which they tried to establish a Pax Romana and Pax Britannica, just like we're establishing a Pax Americana with our foreign military policy while their economies were going down, while our economies are going down. This is the kind of analysis I think people want to hear and hear far too little of. The other book that I would like to hear covered is The Toxic Consumer by Karen Ashton and Elizabeth Salter Green. There is a classification of toxic agents that have been largely outlawed in this country called organochlorines. Agent Orange is one of those, the dioxin. And unfortunately, there are some organochlorine-like compounds still alive. One of the category, they're called PBDEs. It stands for polybromodiphenyl esters. They're like PCBs, and unfortunately, they're destructive to the thyroid, and also they're neurotoxic. They still get into this country. I noticed voluntarily three American chemical producers have voluntarily banned them, but it's voluntary. There's no FDA or watchdog group to monitor and attest to the validity of the ban, or there's no penalties if they don't comply mm-hmm. with their voluntary ban. And it doesn't stop foreign manufacturers from putting this stuff in. They're just like phthalates. They're very dangerous. They're doubling in quantity in our kids' bodies every 5 years. They are toxic things. Have these women on. They've written a wonderful book, and they cover this in their book.
All right. Thank you, John, very much for your call. Scott from La Crosse. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, before I get to my suggestion here, would you indulge me and allow me to send a shout-out to John Treader that I hope he's feeling better and back taking care of the phone soon?
Thank you, Scott. Thank you.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Now,
you sent him a card.
And I apologize again. I don't have a guest for you, but I have a topic. The release of iPhone's new tablet or whatever they're going to call this thing coming out is yet another gadget that's going to, I'm sure, be adopted quickly by young folks all over the country who already spend an inordinate amount of time
yes.
in front of these machines. And what I guess I would like to see covered is the talk about this divide between those of us who are older and did not grow up with these toys and those who are spending all this time on these toys. And in particular, Kathleen, and this was prompted by a discussion that I heard about we who are older assume that because these kids spend time on these mostly computer-based applications that they know something about computers or Google or any of that, and how really when you find out how little they actually do understand about what they're using, it's almost like when those of us who grew up with television assuming that because we sat there watching stupid cartoons on Saturday morning, we knew anything about television technology. Well, and I think, and why I think this is an issue is because if you have a generation that's just making that assumption, okay, well, these kids, they all know about how to do everything on a computer, you kind of maybe dismiss the fact that they actually need to be shown and taught and understand, like, how to do a search, how to find out information, all these things that. And I think it probably would fall in the realm of somebody who's an educator who knows, you know, because I assume if you're sitting there playing games, you're really not learning anything about about the technology or using the technology or getting informed on the technology, you're basically doing the same thing we were doing watching cartoons.
Right.
Now, that maybe that's just a curmudgeonly old old opinion from somebody who doesn't play games on these machines, but I have a hunch I might be right.
Okay.
So if you can find somebody who could address that, I think it'd be an interesting hour.
Great. Thanks, Scott, so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your well wishes for John, who's doing okay. We'll give you an update on him. He's sounds pretty good and has some health issues that he needs to deal with, and said in our last conversation a couple days ago that he hoped that he would be able to be answering phones in a couple weeks, and we hope that as well. Let's go to Mike from Appleton next. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi. Hey, sorry to hear about John. Hope he gets better quickly. A show that should probably be done is on what's coming. I hate to add to the doom and gloom of your previous caller, talking about all of these chemicals, but commercial real estate. Apparently, the picture there is not a very happy one. In fact, it seems to me I read yesterday, the day before, somewhere on the web, that one of these largest commercial companies had declared bankruptcy. And I mean, that's potentially 10 times worse than the housing bubble and the effects that that would have on the economy.
Okay.
Thanks.
Good. Thanks, Mike, for your call. Bruce from Milwaukee. Hello, Bruce.
Hi. Thank you for taking the call, Kathleen.
Sure, Bruce.
This may be a sensitive subject because it's located here in Milwaukee. I'd be interested in a show on the conservative agenda of the Bradley Foundation. If you look at their website, their goal is to advance capitalism, lower taxes, and they have underwritten some educators who are very intolerant and publish books saying that blacks are inferior, and they also support the Heritage Foundation, one of the most conservative organizations in the United States. And, you know, you never hear about it. It's like they're the shadow elite that we hear people talking about, people behind the scenes pulling strings. In fact, the CEO of the Bradley Foundation, Michael Grebe, is the head of Scott Walker's campaign. And I don't think people connect the dots here. And also publish these educational, this sort of educational information that comes out about the time of a campaign. I got these horrible postcards saying that Lena Taylor was a baby killer, and you couldn't track back where they came from, and it's alleged that that was educational information that was funded by the Bradley Foundation.
It's alleged, but we need to be careful about what's true and what's not true.
Exactly. It's alleged. That's
right.
Why I'd like to have a show about what is this organization up to.
And what are the books that you're talking about? Is that
I don't know the title. They published a book 10 years ago on how blacks were inferior to whites, and they fund all this conservative educational research and publishing. You had a guest was similar to some of these people on your show yesterday, who was a bully and impertinent. Anyway, I think someone must be doing research on them, on the Bradley Foundation, what their conservative agenda is for America.
Okay,
because
Bruce.
That's what they say. And if you go to their website, they have a statement about what the conservative agenda is for America and the world.
Thanks.
And they have $700 million to spend on it.
Okay. Thanks, Bruce, very much for your call. Yeah, thanks. We could do a show on, I don't know if we would just center on that one. We'd have to center on a lot of different foundations and the work they're doing, but it's possible we could do something like that, huh? We go to Wayne next from Green Bay. Hello, Wayne.
Hi.
Hi.
I'd like to hear a show about Congress's role in all the problems we've got right now. If it hadn't been for Congress passing legislation that enabled the banks to do all the things that they've done, we probably wouldn't have these problems.
Okay.
I don't know of anybody that you could have as a guest, but it would sure make an interesting program.
Okay. Thank you, Wayne, for your call.
You're welcome.
Chris from Madison. Hi.
Hello. Thank you.
Hello. Sure.
I was going to call in, I'm calling in to suggest Philip Jenkins. He's an author. I can't quite remember all the books he's written, but I think he just had one come out recently. Basically, he writes about global Christianity, and since most Americans only have a small understanding of what Christianity is, and Gene has had this nice thing about inside Islam, but I think a lot of people in America don't even understand non-Western Christianity or how long it's been around. They basically know about 200 years of it, and I think it'd be kind of fascinating to have a guy come on, and he's written things about how Christianity isn't even white anymore. It's basically brown. And a lot of things people just don't know about.
Okay. We're considering doing a series on religions, religion and politics, and religions in the world a couple months from now. So I'll definitely pass that
along. Definitely look him up. I mean, you could probably do an Inside Christianity based on his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because Gene's stuff has been really interesting. But, I mean, just having him on just to speak or build a program around it or something.
Yes. Great. Thank you, Chris, for the suggestion.
All right.
Uh-huh. Bye. We go to Steve next. Hi, Steve.
Hi. How are you today?
All right. How are you?
Just fine. I'd like to see a show on the Wisconsin backwards and broken workman's comp system and how it protects the insurance companies and the employers, and then the injured worker goes out and, you know, suffers. They end up losing their house. You can't get any other programs, food stamps. They figure you're on workman's comp and you're doing well. You got money coming in. Why should you have anything else? In the meantime, you know, we're all pretty much losing our houses, losing everything, because what Wisconsin allows in their percentage basis workman's comp system. That's all.
Okay, Steve. Thank you. Thanks, Steve, for the call. Nathan is next from Appleton. Hi, Nathan.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks.
Hi.
I'm not sure if I've ever heard Robert Baer interviewed on NPR or WPR before. Are you familiar with him?
Yeah, we interviewed him quite a while ago. It must have been a couple of years ago.
Would it have been about his book Sleeping with the Devil?
Yes.
Or one of his others?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm sorry I missed it. That was my suggestion.
No, that's okay. It's still pertinent, and he
absolutely
has things to say about what's going on now, so we'll write down the name.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Nathan.
Yeah.
Matthias from Madison, hello.
Actually, it's from Menominee, but hello, how are you?
Oh, what did I say, Madison?
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, no big deal. But anyway,
okay.
I'm just calling in because I thought it would be awesome if you guys did a show on AmptGuard. It's AmptGuard. And what it is live-action role-playing. And basically, we're simply a bunch of guys between the ages of about 14 and around 50 who go out and beat each other with foam swords. It's a lot of fun, and it's a good recreational activity that lots and lots of people can, you know, have it fun and enjoy, and it's great for both people, you know, young and old. So it'd be cool if you guys, you know, did a show. AmptGuard Inc. It's AmptGuardInc.com is a site where all the information regarding it is. And if you go there, I'm sure that there's someone who you can get a hold of and speak with if you wanted to.
You're trying to recruit some members, or?
Well, I think yes and no. It's also because it's just kind of a cool thing to advertise, you know, out to families, or just even speak about, you know, and talk about how, you know, we look at medieval combat and yet, you know, have fun with it, so to speak. So,
how in the world did you get started on this, Matthias?
A couple of years back, a friend of mine who was working at Walmart was telling me about it, and he was into, you know, Dungeons and Dragons and stuff like that, and said that, oh, there's this huge activity, and there's actually about 45,000 people nationwide.
No.
This specific one. There's other people that are in groups called, like, SCA and stuff like that. Anyway, they're all over the world, some of them are all over the world, but, you know, AmptGuard is mainly in the U.S., and it's just a lot of fun. I've been doing it for about 2 years. I started a park here in Menominee with that friend of mine, but there's a couple other groups, and, like, there's one, a big one in Oshkosh, and they're really, really fun, so.
All right. Thank you, Matthias, for your call.
Yes, thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. We go to Jim from Greenfield next. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I'd like to see a show on how Obama squandered the opportunity to deliver. Obama had a mandate for single-payer health care paid for by income tax and ability to pay. And I haven't seen him keeping any dialogue with America, especially on major networks or affiliates, about how the opposition was keeping Al Franken from taking his office, which would maybe have helped pay health insurance reform. And how the opposition has almost deregulated everything and took us to the brink of a depression. So So that's what I'd like to see.
All right, Jim. Thank you for your call.
Yep.
Willie is next from Madison. Hi, Willie.
Hey, Kathleen. I'm not going to even ask you to have any of those wild radicals on that I usually ask you, you know, the ones that NPR generally ignores. I want to hear you. I don't know. Maybe I haven't been listening enough lately. I want to hear you have one of those hour-long sessions with Robert Reich again.
Yeah.
That's some of the best radio that I hear.
Yeah, he's great, isn't he? I love talking to him, too. We haven't tried him. Part of it is I think he teaches, and he's at Berkeley now. So
yeah, he's at Berkeley.
So we have to get him really early in the morning, and I suspect he's not a real morning guy. He does his best thinking later in the day, and maybe he's eating breakfast when we have our show. I don't know. But you're right. It is time to get him on again. I think he's a very sharp guy. Okay.
Okay, I guess that's it for today.
I guess that's it then, Willie. Okay. Thank you for your call. We go next to Mark from Brookfield. Hi, Mark.
Good morning, Kathleen. How are you today?
Fine. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on the air. I want to suggest an author named David Bloom, and he wrote a book called Alcohol Can Be a Gas. And he's a researcher that's been researching ethanol, and he worked for the Mother Earth News Eco Village in the early 70s. And he basically, in his book, proves that ethanol is perfect for your engine. It works right now in non-flex fuel cars. And if we just start busting the myths on it and get people using it, we can almost reduce our call for oil by 40%, and it reduces the carbon emissions by like 90% when you use it. And due to his book, I've been riding in my non-flex fuel vehicle PT Cruiser for almost 2 years, splash blending and at the pump myself.
Oh.
And I know that when I do this, it's beneficial to my engine. The mileage per gallon is just the same. And whenever I put E85 in my engine, even though it's produced by corn right now, the ethanol produced is made in this country, and it's feeding our farmers, and it's not being sent overseas. So if people would just take the time to visit his website, and or if you guys could get him on, that would be just so wonderful, because he sets the word straight on ethanol, and it's something that we need, and it's ready right now to really solve a lot of our problems.
Okay, Mark.
Well, Thank you.
You talk me into it.
Do it. It's just an eye-opener, and it's a wonderful way to do.
All right. Thank you. Thanks so much for your call.
All right, thanks.
Mary from Eau Claire is next. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, thanks for having me. I just wanted to see if you guys could do a show on subjects that are being taught in the schools that may not be relevant in this age anymore, such as perhaps handwriting and spelling.
Handwriting and spelling?
Yes. Well, those are just examples of, you know, subjects that may no longer be applicable to teach our children anymore because of the technologies that we have, and they're not being used anymore. I mean, nobody sits down to write a letter anymore, so why is handwriting relevant?
Well, but everybody has to do some handwriting, right? You have to write little notes. You got to sign your checks. I'm taking notes during all of this, and I have horrible handwriting, and I feel badly about it. But spelling, hey, we got to know how to spell.
Yeah, but when you write, there's spell checkers everywhere.
But it's not a bad idea to know how words are formed and how to spell those words. It would be hard to rely totally on spell checker, wouldn't it?
Well, most people use the computer. And so that automatically does it for you.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, you know, I like the premise of the show. Are there certain things that we're teaching that...
Right, right.
Yeah.
But those, like I said, those are just examples that I have, but there may be others that other people may think are not relevant anymore either.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
It may be that I'm getting old and I'm thinking about Mrs. Henneberg and what a stickler she was for spelling and handwriting. I can understand that because you either got it or you don't, I think. But that would be an interesting show. What is it that's being taught that maybe is no longer useful for us? I don't know. Oh, we got to pause. And I need to give you our phone number, too. We're having open line for the month of January, so you're welcome to call with your ideas of ideas you'd like to have put into action here during the 9 to 11 o'clock hours. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And we're getting your suggestions. You can also send us emails. Send one to Rhonda and CC me or vice versa. And that's Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org. Mine is Dunk, D-U-N-N-K, at WPR.org. All right. So we have to say about that. So we'll take more of your phone calls in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The President's State of the Union Address will be carried here on the Ideas Network at 8 o'clock tonight, followed by talk programming hosted by Neil Conan. And then tomorrow, Mike O'Shea from Marquette University and Julia Azari, professor of political science at Marquette, will be joining us. We'll do an analysis of what we hear tonight. All right. It's a open line now, 800-486-8655. Barbara is next from Appleton. Hello, Barbara.
Hi, Kathleen. We have an idea, a friend and I, and we hope that you can help. The idea is this. With Haiti right now, we're trying to feed and bring water and food. But for a long-term constructive idea would be to somehow have maybe a foundry there, because they have so many old abandoned cars that are rusting away, to turn them into steel girders to help construct homes in the future that will be resistant to earthquake. And I know that people will say, well, we're not ready to do this in Haiti. They don't have anything. But what I want to know is, if we can get a guest to foster ideas with the idea that if we could do this, what would we need to do, and then go from there? Because there are so much scrap metal just wasting when people there need the steel girders for their houses.
Right.
And we have contacted the CEO of Wapaka Foundry, and he is very responsive, but he of course he says this is too a huge deal. This mm-hmm. is a big thing, and we're probably not ready to do it because they don't have an industry there, blah, blah, blah,
right.
Which is true. But I wanna say, if we could do this, don't say we can't. If we could do this, what would it take, step by step?
Mm-hmm.
And right now, it's a good time to raise money for that kind of thing, and this is long-term. We've got short-term things to do right now, but we can't forget that we can't do long-term for employment for the people there and to build better, safer buildings for the future.
Other than the person in Wapaka, have you been in touch with anyone else, Barbara?
No. The woman that came up with the idea originally is an Earth Mother type, Jin Hosh, and she has contacted Gary Giganti, who is the CEO of Thyssen Krupp, which is Wapaka Foundry, because that's where she lives. That's
right.
The foundry she but I wonder if there's someone, maybe Gary, but maybe someone who can come on the show to talk about the possibility. This is a big dream, but, dreams start with little ideas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We will, I'm sure, be scheduling a show down the road here. We want to do one on the history of Haiti, but another one is on long-term projects that need to happen to bring that country back to being a country. So that would be something that we would do down the road, and you could plug into that, I would think.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you
very much for the call. And we also want to tell you that we do have this Facebook page. If you want to link with other people too, it's one of our desires is to, if Barbara has this idea and somebody else has an idea, well, you know how things work. A couple ideas from a couple good people. Oh, what you can do. So if you want to list those ideas, maybe you can get some feedback too. Just go to, what is it, the Kathleen Dunn Show on Facebook and put those ideas there as well, and hope that somebody from our audience will respond to you. But we will be doing something on the future for Haiti down the road. Let's go next to Al from Toma. Hi, Al.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Just very briefly, I don't really have a recommendation other than perhaps someone from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation or perhaps from the Federal Department of Transportation and the implications of all the technology that's being built into cars and trucks now as far as the safety aspects of distracted drivers.
Okay.
And I guess that perhaps maybe someone, because yesterday they announced, I'm a commercial driver, and they announced that they're banning by commercial drivers and bus drivers texting while driving, which I think is an excellent idea. People shouldn't be doing that in the first place, whether you're a driver
right.
of a truck or a car. But also, you know, the GPSs, all that kind of stuff, which does distract drivers.
Okay. Okay, Al, that's a good idea. Yes?
Yeah, that's all. Thank you.
That's good. Thanks, Al.
You bet.
Uh-huh. Bye. Is it Liza from Milwaukee?
Hi, Liza, actually.
Liza. Hi, Liza.
Hi. I was calling with a couple of suggestions for speakers on some of the topics other people have brought up. In terms of the Facebook privacy or sort of more broadly privacy in social media, we have a great resource at UWM. Professor Michael Zimmer has been on NPR and other news programs talking about these issues, and Facebook in particular, and their recent changes to their privacy policies and the default settings.
Okay.
Also, if we do an energy show looking at some of the smart grid issues and the emergence of smart grid technologies, their privacy implications are very interesting, too. And I would recommend Jules Holonetsky from The Future of Privacy.
Okay.
As a potential guest for that. And then on the adoption issue, Representative John Richards here in Milwaukee might be somebody who'd be interested in talking about adoption reform in Wisconsin. I know that he and his wife recently went through international adoption.
Great. Okay, Liza. Thank you.
Good luck. Have fun.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Mike is next from Madison. Hi, Mike.
Hello. I want to see if a lawyer or somebody can explain the bankruptcy law, because a lot of small businesses and some people are taking advantage of bankruptcy law, and they don't pay their employees. And there is a company I know that owes thousands of dollars, $10,000 to $20,000 to their employees, and they bankrupted, and nobody is saying anything about it, and they owe us money.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I want to know about the long-term insurance. How does it go? Is it reverse mortgage or what will cover the long-term care? Because it costs about $2,000 a month to $4,000 a month at the assisted living place.
Right. I know. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Unbelievable. I mean, the family, younger people in the family have to have their own lives to take care of. And the older people have no care.
Right. We should do a show on long-term care.
The care is at the cost of $5,000 a month.
Right. All right. That's on our list. Thank you, Mike.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Joe from Rockland. Hi, Joe.
Hello?
Hi, Joe.
Oh, hey. I had a suggestion. I was wondering if you could bring someone in to talk about the agricultural employee, how we work at such low wages. You know, we average $7 to $7.50 an hour for some of the more difficult work in the state, and we don't see a penny of overtime because we're up against when we seek a higher wage or we seek overtime is immediate replacement by black market employees and illegal immigrants. So we're working 60 to 80 hours a week for $7 to $7.50 an hour. We don't see any overtime and no hope for any kind of a wage that would actually allow us to purchase health care.
All right, Joe.
If you need somebody to talk to, you can just give me a call.
We can just call Joe, huh? You'll talk with us. All right. Well, you know, you probably ought to be in touch with us via email if you can do that, Joe.
Okay.
Because we don't know where you are. You know, we don't know your phone number. We don't want to give it over the air. So we'll give our email addresses again.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Joe, for the call. All right. One more phone call. Let's go to, or maybe two, Buzz from Cashton. Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Yes. I would like to hear, I actually have a couple of ideas, if at all possible. I hadn't heard any shows about This happened a while back now, not too long ago, about the global warming scandal that was uncovered by the emails from East Anglia University, and it was really fascinating, and I'd like to hear more about that.
We actually talked about it, but that was a while ago. So are there new developments on that issue? Do you know?
Well, I haven't seen a whole lot about it. It seemed to have hit the airwaves, but was kind of strangely covered up. The other thing I'd really like to hear Wisconsin Public Radio do a show on would be the, and this also happened a while ago, and I don't believe you did any show about it, was that Acorn scandal and what they uncovered there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did shows on that as well. So, you know, if there are new developments on any of those issues, we're happy to talk about them. Thank you, Buzz, for your call. Just a couple of reminders. The President's State of the Union tonight at 8 o'clock. We will carry it. We will talk about it the first hour of our program tomorrow at 9 o'clock. If you didn't get through during this open line and you want to send us suggestions, you can go to our emails, Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G at WPR.org. Mine is Dunk@WPR.org. We're always happy to hear from you, not just on open line days. And we do have a Facebook page right now that has been helpful in getting people to respond to shows. But if you also have some kind of idea that came up here or suggestion, if you heard, oh, I know the perfect guest for that particular show, feel free to go to that Facebook page, too. And you can always get updated as to the shows that we're doing there. So that's the Kathleen Dunn Show, and that's on Facebook. All right, that'll do it for today. We'll talk to you again tomorrow at 9, talking about the State of the Union, and I hope you'll join us. Lots of great conversation ahead. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.